Susie Ulmer, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Now, your Alyssum Montessori School down in the heart of the city has seen a lot of crazy challenge this last few months. First of all, how is the staff, the student body, the whole school spirit all faring?
I think we're doing pretty well. We have a great principle of a close connection between home and school, and I think our families did a great job of coming together and reaching out to us, but also supporting one another to help us through what has been a really unique time.
Now, how many students are enrolled in your school?
Last year we had around 28. This year we probably won't reach that number just because families are making a really difficult decision about how to place their younger or youngest children into a preschool program.
And how about the staff?
We have an amazing staff and a very small staff, and we still meet weekly via Zoom, of course, and support one another. I think teachers are optimists. We start thinking of the next year, probably in January or February, and even though we were thrown this wrench, we're ready to take on whatever comes our way.
That's fantastic for, of course, the good of your school, but for the community and for your own well-being, too. And you are part of the Wildflower Schools Network. How is this distinctive?
Well, the Wildflower Network was brought together at the MIT Media Lab in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and it was focused on creating small, urban, shopfront, authentic Montessori schools. And I think what makes us different is that we are teacher-led, so we run our own schools as well as teach.
And the whole urban environment is special to your cause. That's an interesting situation. And how does it feel to be right in the heart of things?
We love being downtown, and I think our families love it, but most important, I think our children love it, and what we hear is that the community loves seeing our kids. I just really believe that part of an improvement to a better Fort Wayne is that our children grow up using and being a part of their community, and that's maybe what will help us retain our talent.
And what a great situation you have going there. So, just as we were all intent on going forward with the new normal, the tragic death of George Floyd simply rocked our world. A terrible sadness. Now, you folks at Alyssum were hard hit in that first round of protests, and you were the first responders to literally turn that horror around and make a point. And the way you did that was with art. What inspired that specific decision?
Well, every Wildflower school has a very strong social justice bent to it, and we spend a lot of time with teachers and students talking about what that means. So a response to what has been a tragic thing in our communities for a long time, a good response for us was to keep the focus on that and not on our broken windows.
And not your broken world. So you begin rebuilding. In fact, you hit the ground running, it seems like. How long did it take to get everything together and rallied and enacted after the terrible act?
When we realized our windows were broken, we were down there, you know, that next morning. It was overwhelming how many people came out to help clean up. And through that, a friend, Adam Gardner, showed up. And he loves to take pictures. So I said, get down here. And he said, I'm on my way. And through that cleanup process, I think we just started talking about what we could do. We knew that we had a plan to put up boards. And just having very creative and artistic people as part of our toolkit of friends in our community comes in handy. And he offered, and it just came together. It just happened. It morphed into what it became.
And what it became is something wonderful. It sounds like the speed of things, as well as the intensity of the art that was produced, surprised even you, maybe. What did that act of turning it around so quickly and being so effective mean to you, representing the school, you know, empowerment-wise?
Oh, that's a beautiful question. I just think being positive about hardship. I remember being really young, and I had a poster in my room that said, when God gives you lemons, make lemonade, or something like that. It was a blank canvas on our building. I mean, what else would you do? I didn't want to look at that every time I went downtown to my school. So it was heartwarming, and it was overwhelming in that moment.
Montessori curriculum is always interesting and creative. Has to be. How is art generally utilized within your classroom, within your school, as a language? And what kind of statements have you and your students made in the past this way?
I think the beauty of Montessori is that we allow children to construct their own learning. And I think, even though I'm called a teacher leader, the leader really refers to my administrative duties, but we like to call ourselves guides. We're there to guide children through the process of learning. And most children will lean towards artistic creation, whether you call that STEAM or project-based learning. Most of the children I've taught will always draw or move or sing or write or create plays or whatever to share their learning with one another and with their teachers. So it's a really good fit.
What we're talking about here, Susie, is social justice, learning about it, and also teaching others about it. Do you think that your students realize that that's what they're doing? And do you talk about it with them?
We talk about it. And that's something I work on as a teacher, always trying to do a better job of talking about it and making it a really big part of what we would call our peace curriculum. You know, it's no longer just about resolving conflicts, which is important, but about understanding how systems are in place. And children see that very early, especially elementary children. It's all about what's fair and what's not fair. And they are able to grasp that something doesn't feel right in our communities. They know that. They sense it. I think it's an opportunity to make children, no matter what they look like, because remember, race is a social construct. It's not real, that they're safe. And I think that's one avenue that we all as teachers need to explore. Are we really making our children feel safe by looking into our own personal bias and making sure we're making loving environments for them?
And strong statements all at the same time.
Very strong.
Now, some fear that this is just a bunch of pretty pictures to dilute and diffuse the situation. What do you hope the whole community learns from your message?
Well, I think you and I agree that art is one of the best ways as a human being that we express ourselves and we express things that are important. I mean, quality art isn't frou-frou. It's not sugarcoating anything, and you should have a visceral reaction when you see a good piece of art.
And in fact, the art on your building and now really turning downtown Fort Wayne into sort of a pop-up temporary gallery of statement is beautiful. How would you rank its effectiveness and the hard edge it does take on what needs to be said right now?
I think it's effective to those who are ready and willing to see it and to see the message. I think it's just something pretty to those who have yet to learn what white supremacy is and our part in it as white people.
I am kind of curious, Susie, how does the impact of a collective art statement of this magnitude and being on display this long make you feel as a teacher, as a school founder? Will it change the way you teach?
I don't think it'll change the way I teach, but I think it will lift the way I engage with my community. I don't really fully understand the amount of support that happened because of two broken windows. I think what came out of it was beautiful, and it's just a testimony to what we can be instead of what we've become. And the goal for me would be that those murals are all auctioned off and money goes to the appropriate places to continue the mission of social justice and police reform specifically.
If this is its own lesson in our lack of social justice, what more can Alyssum, as a small but mighty Montessori school in the heart of the city, do about it?
Julie, I love you for putting the word mighty with our Montessori school. Thank you. I had recently written a grant that was to help develop awareness of racial bias for our community of parents, but also students and teachers and the community as a whole. And I've been scrambling for a way to share that knowledge. And so I, with a co-teacher from another school, have created a book group. And I know that sounds a little lame at this point in time, but it's a first step to grow awareness of our place in this racial system.
Good for you. Good for you. So before all of this happened, you were already planning an addition to your school with a move of your younger students to a spot on Brackenridge, which is certainly just a nice little walk from your Calhoun facility. that's still taking place. How does it feel thinking about creating a whole new, bigger, expanded part of this in the light of the destruction that just happened that you're working through and moving along?
That honestly does not concern me as much as the pandemic and what we're dealing with that with schools right now. I don't know. Some of these things, you have to wait until you have children together to see where they lead. And isn't that what it's all about? We're waiting for them to lead us forward.
Did you ever dream when you set out to do such a project and make such a difference with a Montessori school like this that you'd have already encountered this many challenges and hoops to jump through, perhaps I could call it?
Oh, no. I thought that renovations of the original space were going to be the biggest too, but this has definitely led us down another path. But, you know, if we can model flexibility and joy in what life throws us, then we're doing a great job for children.
Yes, and I'm sorry it took a pandemic or any of the other things it has taken, but aren't you glad you're going in this direction now?
I'm glad that we have the opportunity to do that, to move forward.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And last question, Susie, that bottom line. In the long run, what do you personally hope for in your school, in your community, in your heart, for our world?
I would hope that it could be as simple as that we would all stop the divisiveness and come together, whether you're Christian, non-Christian, Black, white, able-bodied, not able-bodied. We're in this together. I think this pandemic has shown us that. And I think that a lot of what we need to go back to is trust. We have to learn to trust each other and trust that we all take these big picture ideas seriously. And I'm ready to do that.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today, Susie. Thank you for your spirit and the difference you make in our community. Do stay safe and carry the gift.
Thank you for having me.